Well, this morning, it's my very great pleasure and honor to invite Tom Egham to come forward. Tom is the founder and the leader of Hope for Kids, and we've been connected with Hope for Kids for, my goodness, 4 or 5 years now, I believe, as a congregation, and I've known him for longer than that, and it's just been a great joy. Last summer, we got the pleasure, my family and several others from the congregation, of spending a couple weeks with him in Wow. Uganda.
What was that like?
Amazing. Amazing. And we have a couple more people going this year in mm-hmm. November to Uganda, Patty Robinson and Sharon Fox.
Okay, great.
And we're excited for that. Especially after hearing Tom talk this morning, but if God is prompting you, we would encourage you to go. We've got a village there that we love very much, mm-hmm. and that they are amazing Christians.
Yes.
They are amazing prayers and
worshipers.
Oh my goodness! Oh, wow. Yeah, that was an amazing experience.
Incredible.
To do that. So,
yeah.
Tom, let me just pray for you, and let's ask God to bless. God, we ask that you would just bless Tom's words this morning. And we pray, we know that they will be your words, and that your Spirit would be alive and working here this morning. And we don't know what you have for us, but you do. And I pray that you would be, that we, each of us, would be open to your calling wherever it is. And just bless him this morning as he brings us a message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, great. Pastor Paul. I don't know if you've noticed on Facebook, Pastor Paul, but there are some of my Facebook, African Facebook friends that now have the last name Witkop. Yes. And there's a number of Eggums out there now, too. So you're popular over there. I'm going, who's this? You know, it doesn't look like part of the family, but anyway, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the friendships we make as we travel are really, really special. You get very close to people in need, and it's just a great joy. You know, I'm going to say some things today that I hope you like. So I want to start out by saying something you might not like. Go Steelers. Oh, okay. Oh, boy. I should have waited till the end, right? Bye. Well, I lived in Pittsburgh in the 70s. I was a youth director there in a Lutheran church. So I've always had this heart for the Steelers. So they were there before the Cardinals, but my second favorite team is the Packers. Well, anyway, so I'm really going to get myself in trouble, but Cardinals are somewhere in there. great to be here this morning, and I'm here with my daughter, Sophia. Sophia, do you want to stand up and wave? She used to like that. Now she's 12, so yeah. Now, I embarrass her quite a bit, but we live outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland, and so we came out for the weekend, and she got to go to a birthday party of the friends of hers here, and we get to see family out here, so it's just great being here. Thank you, Light of the Desert, for your partnership over these years, and the impact you've had on the village of Kasolo continues to be a great impact for Patty and Sharon, is it, that's going? You are in for a delight. You've heard the stories, but when you see it in person and meet your family over there, you'll never be the same. I also want to acknowledge I've got a couple staff members here. Kristen is our attorney on our staff, so she has to be here to make sure I do everything right. But anyway, she's a great part of our ministry. And then we have a couple other staff members that are coming. But then I have a lot of friends here. So thank you for being here today and making a special effort to come out this morning. I want to remind you that if you're not acquainted with Hope for Kids, that we have a table out back. My daughter will be there, and Kristen, and will help you. Patty's been doing a great job here as our ambassador to recruit people to sponsor children in Kasolo. We have 4 kids left on our list there. Their profiles are here for Kasolo, and that's really cool that you can sponsor kids in your village. And then when we visit there, or one of you gets to go, then you'll be able to visit those kids in that village, and that's really special. We also have kids from around the world that are available to sponsor. It's $1 a day, $31 a month, and it changes their life. Our emphasis is that they get an education. To me, that's not the handout, it's the hand up. And these kids are hungry to learn, but they need sponsorship to pay the fees and everything that's required for them to go to school. So, great thing. So you do, a lot of those kids are sponsored through Light of the Desert. So thank you very much. I also want to say that it's always, well, it was great having your family, but, you know, then there's always other people that come along with you, like Ken and Susan. Well, especially Ken. You know, now they travel everywhere with me. It's not easy to get rid of these guys. But anyway, no, they have really become a blessing. Ken is on our board now and has really become an advocate for us. And we love them. We were able to visit them in North Carolina, about 5 hours from where we live. And really appreciate you guys for all you're doing. And so we're really connected here. And we feel like this is really a valued partner church. So thank you for that. Now I want to show you a few little pictures that you might recognize a few people in here, but as you can see, the dates of our ministry. Am I going the right way? Other way. There we are. This is the church on the day of dedication when Pastor Paul was there. That was a day we'll never, ever forget. Here they're preparing a delicacy. It's called matoki, and it's actually smashed bananas cooked over an open fire in these banana leaves, and it doesn't taste like bananas. It's more like our mashed potatoes, and it's very good. But that's a very common thing when you visit there, they'll make a meal for you or share things with you, give you goats and chickens, and you know, it's really a humbling thing to see their generosity giving out of nothing. And then, as Pastor Paul mentioned, the worship that they participate in, as just a number of hours ago, you could probably have heard a loud noise sweeping across Africa as they were getting in their full worshiping God mode, and it is really a delight to be a part of that. As I said earlier, your friendships become very deep. We're involved in Namibia. Namibia is in Southwest Africa, down by South Africa. There's Ken. Again, he acts like he's working there, but the guys that were helping us paint our office this week and move furniture were wondering where he was. But anyway, I thought I would get that in somehow. But anyway. We partner with the Lutheran Church of Namibia, and this is really a valued place. We're restoring about 19 hostels. They're where children live to enable them to go to school, and the Lutheran Church of Namibia is in charge of that. This is actually the First Lady of Namibia attending an award ceremony of some of our kids that we sponsor. We're receiving the top awards in the country, and the First Lady was there to present that. We actually have a team in Cuba as we speak. Our Vice President Angie and Carmela, our Director of Sponsorship, are leading a team. They're in Cuba this week, and we just saw a bunch of pictures on Facebook last night, and looks like they're having a great experience. In February, we'll take another trip. I'll be leading that trip into Cuba. Anybody's interested in, it's only a week long, so it's easier to get that time off, but what a life changer. We've been going to Cuba for about 15 years, and we were there for 3 years in a row, and then we were not able to renew our license, so there was a gap until just a few months ago we took our first team in. So now we're back in and sponsoring children and helping with water projects and a number of different things, and get there while before everybody gets to go there, because it'll change quickly. But it's really like stepping back in time when you walk into Havana today, and that's where we're based, in Havana, and you see the children playing in the streets. They're such a delight. We started sponsorship there this past weekend. We're trying to help build a church and a community center in one of the areas there. And again, as we've said, the the friendships we make around the world are really, really special. Also, in February, we're going back to India. We go to the Taj Mahal, and that's actually the little Taj there, but we go to the Taj Mahal, and we go to Calcutta and see Mother Teresa's ministry, and it is really quite a thing. We have a partner here in Scottsdale that has a Christian school there, and we sponsor a lot of her kids, and you'll get to go visit that school, which is an oasis in the middle of just the, Ken, wouldn't you say, I mean, just some of the most extreme poverty we've ever seen. And to visit the kids' homes and see where they'd come from and then see the education they're getting is just, it's a tearjerker to think that your sponsorship is changing a child's destination. And in fact, that picture was one of the openings of one of the homes of where the kids took us to show us where they live. So very, very special. And then we just had a team again, Ken and Susan were with us again. Luckily, I backed out of that one. But they really had a special time in the Philippines, right? And we partnered with Feed My Starving Children, which I know you're familiar with here, right? And we're an A-plus partner with them. And we deliver food to a number of nations around the world. So that's one of the places. So that's from our team that was just there. Well, there he is again. And our Water for Kids projects. To me, this is such a critical thing that we're a part of. And you've been a part of helping us drill wells. For a little over $10,000, we can drill a deep water well. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning because it's really on my heart right now because I have a goal that we want to drill 100 wells again this year. And we're 40 short or something like that now. And in the next weeks, I'm hoping that we'll reach that goal because it is such a life changer. And I'll talk to you in a few minutes about that. And then sponsoring kids. These are some kids in the Philippines. It's a very special place there. And what sponsorship does, it empowers kids to get them to school. And we believe that education breaks the cycle of poverty. That's why we have such an emphasis. And so wherever you are sponsoring children, that's our emphasis. We make sure that they are getting to school. So thank you for being a part of that. Let me just say a personal word here, Paul. Thank you for your partnership. You know, most every weekend that I'm home, I try to be out speaking in a church. And we consider you a partner church. We want to be a catalyst for you, an encouragement to you as well as you to us, and in a friendship and relationship. And over the 42 years I've been doing this, I've really noticed a change of churches welcoming, not welcoming, outside speakers. There is a movement across North America that this thought is that organizations like Compassion International, World Vision, I'll put Hope for Kids in there, although we're a tiny little organization compared to them, Samaritan's Purse, that these organizations that are speaking about the poor and stuff are taking money from the local church. And one of the things that I try to do in a partner church is to say, I hope you never give your tithe, out of your 10% to us or to another organization. That belongs to the church. And your church is involved in so many ways of helping the poor in the community here as well as across the world. We want to make sure that's honored. But it's above that that we can give. And we've seen that people, when they're challenged, they give extra. They give beyond, and they get involved in something that moves their heart. But this movement, in fact, there was a conference a while back in Scottsdale where a number of pastors were there, and one of the speakers said that they were no longer welcoming outside organizations because they were sucking the money out of the church. And one of my pastor friends said to me, and the pastor stood and cheered. And that really frightens me because in the American church, it's so easy to get caught up in this is kind of a club. You know, this is kind of a nice place to go, and we give our little money and we serve a little and we're comfortable. And we love our church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for many churches that are promoting that, it's possible for us to sit in church week after week and never be made uncomfortable, that there are poor people suffering, that there are brothers and sisters of ours that have a great faith. And Pastor Paul and I were talking about this earlier. Their faith is just amazing. And they are praying for the basics of life. There are people throughout the world right now who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are sold out to Jesus, who have faith that I cannot even begin to compare my faith to. They're crying out for water because their children are dying from poison water, because they have to spend hours looking for water, carrying water. And the women are endangered as they do this, and the little girls are abused and have a terrible time getting to school because they're trying to survive. And I often put myself in that place and think, God, it seems like you answer all my frivolous prayers that are not life and death at all. Why aren't you answering the prayers of these people? And then I'm reminded that we have been called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're called to be the answer to their prayer. And so I believe when children are praying to go to school, that when we sponsor them, we've become the answer to their prayer. When they're crying out because their children are dying because of unsafe water, and we decide to drill a well in their community, we've become the answer to their prayer. And this, to me, you know, when I think of the North American church, if we are not allowed to speak about the poor, if we're not allowed to, you know, be the ambassador of the poor in the church, and many of those organizations I mentioned are on the front line, they see it every day, then what will happen to us as American Christians? We just get more and more comfortable, more and more satisfied, and we miss out on what I think is the heart of the gospel. And that is that we have a love for those in need. That the scripture is filled with examples of how we are to reach out to those in need. The scripture is very plain to say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me water. I, you know, was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And the sad thing about that scripture is, I didn't know you. You didn't know me if you didn't do that. And so my challenge is that I hope that churches will continue to be open to allowing the message of the ambassadors of the poor to be able to speak boldly and emotionally that the need is great out there. Let's never become too comfortable that we, you know, do not respond, that we're not moved by this. I oftentimes, you know, when we're traveling and seeing the difference we're making, I hear the comment, well, you're sure going to go to the heaven because of all the good you've done. Or if we do this, we know this really pleases God, and we know we're going to heaven. And I love to say the foundational verse of everything we do reminds us that our good works are a result of our faith, not the way to get to heaven. And a scripture I'll share with you from Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. So that's salvation. That's heaven. Not by works, so no one can boast. We can't say, well, they were a good person. They did this. For we are God's handiwork. I love this part. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, it says, we've been created this way to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So to me, that's the foundation of what I'm talking about this morning. The need is great out there. Does God move your heart to do something? Does he say, get involved? Do you find yourself getting involved in volunteering or getting involved in the city here or around the world? Because that's your design. That's your purpose. And when we realize that we have this purpose, the need gets overwhelming. You kind of have to say, God, I can't do it all. But I often pray, I want to be faithful to that which you called me. So if he's called you to do something, that what that means is, if your heart is moved to do something, be faithful. Do that. and do it with all of your heart. I mentioned that I'm so moved by the miracle that takes place when we drill a well and give life to a community. We have found that the average of people that depend on a borehole that we drill is somewhere between 5,000 to 10,000 people. To think of that impact, to think of that need, to think of what does that do? When you think of our planet, you know, it's a water planet. 75% of our surface is covered by water. You know, yet only 1% of our water is drinkable. So we're at a crisis on our planet. Nations battle to keep the resource for themselves. They build huge reservoirs and dams, stopping the water flow into another somebody else's country. Well, we see that even like, you know, dispute in the Southwest here. Many people in the world simply have no water. Lack of water is being forced to drink unhealthy water. It's the biggest cause of disease and death on the planet today. That's why I always come back to this and go, you know, if we don't save the children, if we don't save them from these diseases, they're not going to be well enough to be educated and break this cycle. That's why, to me, the frontline approach to all of this, when you see poverty and you see all this, is do they have a water source? 80-some percent of the diseases in Eastern Africa are waterborne. In some areas there where we've been working, 52% of the children die before their fifth birthday. Most of it's waterborne. So we can drill a well, we can get a source of fresh water. Not only do they survive, but I've seen the economy change in a village. One gentleman, I think it might have even been in Kasolo when we were walking back from the source, he said to me, the money I spent last year on medicine and going to the hospital for my children, now I don't have to because of the new well. And I put that in the seed. So it changes the whole dynamic of a community. It can develop because of businesses now, because they're not spending their time and effort on getting water. Crops can be grown, communities can be developed, families can bathe, and children otherwise would spend all day in looking for water now get their education. Let me read another scripture to wrap this up. Isaiah 41:17 is such a clear description of the cry of the poor. It really moves my heart. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I'll turn the desert into pools of water and parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I'll set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together. Here's the reason. So that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. The majority of the people we meet in the villages, when we open a well, are giving glory to God. They believe it was an answered prayer. I had an old gentleman say to me one time, "How did God find us in this little village on His great planet?" They feel so special. It's why a lot of the times we'll share the story of the woman at the well. And for the response, when you see people listening, you can tell many of them have never heard the story. And they're amazed by the story because it takes place in the Bible time, but it's just like their time, the women at the well. and Jesus meeting the woman at the well and beginning the conversation, and she wondering, why would he speak to me? I'm a Samaritan, and I'm a woman, and this shouldn't be happening. And then he asked her for a drink of water. And then he says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for one. And she said, you don't even have a pot to draw with. What are you talking about? He said, oh, the water I give is unto eternal life. And be able to share that. We've seen numbers of people really come to faith in Christ because, you know, it's hard. An African pastor said to me, it's hard to preach to children who are hungry. It's hard to preach the good news to people who are struggling with the basic of life, saying, well, if God is there, where is our water? So we have found this to be a great tool of the Holy Spirit to bring the good news of Christ. And if you're wondering, well, it doesn't sound very spiritual to drill a well, I'm telling you the impact for eternity is immeasurable. So thank you for being a part of all of those things. One last scripture. Did I already say that? One last scripture? One more, all right. Okay. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. And then since the band's just getting up, I'll use one more. This is a good promise. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he reward them for what they have done. Let's pray. God, we surrender these words. We sense your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. We sense the cry of the poor, of their need is so great. I pray that we can be a blessing to them, that we will be your hands and feet, that we will bring honor and glory to you by not just our words, but by our actions. God, I ask your blessing on this place, on the many people here that are involved in caring for the poor. God, pour out that blessing we just read about. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.